all of you. Lord, I pray that this afternoon, that the words which are going to be spoken, Lord, are going to be words which are coming from you, Lord. Those words are not going to be my words, but those are going to be your words, Lord, that we could receive them, Lord, and that we can understand that you want to have an encounter with us. You want to have a meeting with us this afternoon, Lord. And we come to you with expectation, Father. We want to listen to your words, Lord. Open our hearts, Lord. And that we also can cut off any other thought which is coming in our mind, Lord, that we can focus on you, Lord, and that we can hear from you, that we can stand in awe. The songs that we've been singing, each and every one was special, Lord. Each and every time your name was glorified, Father. And that's what we want to do this afternoon. We want to praise your name. We want to glorify your name. In Jesus' name. Last week I preached about prophecy. And I'm just going to ask if there was maybe someone who said, yes, they prophesied over somebody in the last week, that you edified the person, that you encouraged the person, or you comfort the person, that you said, yes, what we spoke about last week Sunday, that you could actually put it in practice during the week. Is there anybody who's maybe got a testimony? It's quiet. Okay. Anybody else who would like to share a testimony of something that happened this last week? Maybe as we would praise and worship, that you saw a certain picture, if there's a certain message which you would like to share. Come, Steph.
During worship, God just showed me a picture of, like, I remember well when I was small, I was like playing with my dad's Victorinox knife or something. And then if you cut your finger, like, the thing that you immediately did is you went to your dad and said, sorry, I played with your knife, and this is now the scar of it. And then immediately he can give you a plaster and, like, fix it. And I just felt God saying the same to us, like, if we sin, if we play with stuff that we may not, and we cut our wrist, oh, well, not wrist, that's quite harsh, but sometimes sin is that bad. Yeah, that we should immediately go to God as our Father, because he wants to heal it. Like, he sees the bleeding. Like, if I played with a knife, my dad saw that and go, well, my finger is bleeding. So he doesn't think that we can hide the sin from God. And then the more you bleed, the worse it becomes. So the sin will just grow and take root in your heart. So, yeah, that's what I saw in worship.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Steph. Yes, Yvette also would like to share something. Okay, testify.
Do I have to? Okay. Oh, sorry, I did not realize. When Renee first said that she feels that God says I must come here and have a visit, well, I knew that I had to go to Paris for a mission. So I said, okay, the only way that I think that will happen, that my husband will allow me to come, is if I include the mission. But I knew that it was God's timing. To cut a long story short, Wednesday evening I was standing at the airport with a standby ticket. Now, if you work for the airways, you can buy a very cheap ticket, but it means that you can only fly when there's a seat available, after everybody's got a seat. So the flight was meant to leave at 12:30 in the night. So I was standing there 11:15, and the lady said to me, there's no seat available. I said, okay, and the other lady said to me, you can fly via Paris. I said, I don't know how to do that, but okay. And then me and my husband started discussing, and then we started walking back to the car, because we said, okay, we'll try tomorrow evening. And as we were walking, I just looked on the cell phone to see how frequent there are flights from Paris to Amsterdam. And then I just felt, I'm going to go for it. I'm not going to miss this opportunity, because tomorrow evening, that was Thursday evening, it looked worse than on Wednesday evening. So I said to him, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try via Paris now. So we turned around, got there where this lady's working. She looked at me and she said to my husband, I'm doing this for her, not for you. It was jokingly. because they know each other. And she's on the phone. And the next moment, I heard her speaking to the guy that's working at, it's a ramp agent, called a ramp agent at the airplane, asking for the captain again, because we asked him before if I can have the jump seat. Now, you don't want to fly in the jump seat, actually, because the jump seat is not a seat. It's if you lift your bum, there's no seat anymore. That's how the jump seat works. And she said to me, the captain says, yes, you have a seat. And my husband looked at me, he said, are you sure? This is a long flight, 11 hours on that seat. I said, yes, I'll go. I don't care how I get there. I must go. Guys, I sat in the cockpit behind the pilot. So I was basically almost the first person that lifted up the ground from in the air. And it was 5 minutes later they told me there's a seat available in economy class. So I did not have to sit in the jump seat. And I just knew this was God. Because for me, in the natural, this was not possible. Because five people did not show, and that was God, made sure that I can come here to do the work that He's ordained for me since 2014 to come and do. And it's all the glory and honor to Him. Because if it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't have been here now.
Thanks a lot, Yvette. That's awesome. Welcome here. When I started with this sermon, I prayed and I asked the Lord, where must I preach about? And then I got three words: strength, honor, and glory. And what do you do with those three words? Then you have a look and see, okay, what can I do? Where must I go? And have a look. And first, what I do is Bible Gateway, and I punched in the three words. And I'm always using the New King James Version. So I said, okay, where does it stand somewhere? And there's only one scripture where it stands in that sequence, but it's part of the whole scripture. And then Tuesday evening as well, with the intercession, the first scripture what she was reading was out of Revelation 4, and then the words were mentioned as well, but in another order. And it's just confirmation again, okay, this is what I had to preach about. And then I started with it. And yes, there's only one verse what you've got in Revelations where it is mentions the strength, the honor, and the glory. It's actually 11 and 12, what has got to be read in the same breath. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. This is an awesome verse, but before I'm going to dig a little bit deeper in it, I'm first going to tell a little bit about Revelations, about the book, and then we can come back to that verse just now. The Greek for the Revelations of John, it means Apocalypsis Iano. Hopefully I'm pronouncing it correct. If there are any Greek, aren't you? No, not. Thank you. So that is the revelation of John. But if we take a look at what it actually says in the beginning, how it starts over there, the revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says over there, the revelation of Jesus Christ, this is the first verse, Revelations 1, verses 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. So it's a revelation from Jesus Christ to John. And Revelations is actually a very important book, where Genesis is the first book in the Bible where it says where it all started. Is Revelations the book in the Bible where it says where it's all going to? So it's a very important book. And there's some controversy about the content of the book, because I had a little bit of a look onto it, and that's why I'm not digging deep in the Revelations, because you have a lot of different ways of explaining it. And I'm just going to mention three statements from three different theologians, which are not small. First one is Mr. Martin Luther, the one which we know of the statements what he put on the Wittenberg. That's the one which next year, it's 500 years back that he has done it. And I'm going to read what he said about Revelations. Revelations is neither apostolic or prophetic. And everyone thinks of the book whatever his spirit suggests. So which means your spirit can suggest whatever you want to think about the book of Revelations. This is now Martin Luther saying that. And there are many nobler books which can be retained. And in the last statement, my spirit cannot accept this book. So that was the comment from Martin Luther about the book Revelations. There's another guy, Calvin. He said he did a commentary on the whole New Testament, but he omitted the Revelations. He didn't do anything on Revelations. He couldn't handle it. Didn't know how to sort it out, so he left it, and he didn't do Revelations on it. Zwingli, that's another guy. Whose name is mentioned quite often along with Calvin, he said, its testimony can be rejected because it's not a book of the Bible. So he basically couldn't see Revelations to being a book of the Bible. So yes, there are different ways of thinking of what is actually in Revelations and how they see Revelations. Revelations is a book of blessings and curse. In Revelations 1 verses 3 it says, blessed to those who read it aloud, both to themselves and to another, but also who keep the words by meditating and applying it. So if we are reading it aloud for ourselves and for other persons, we are meditating it and we are applying it, what is standing in it, then there's a curse in Revelations. Then there's a blessing in Revelations. But there's also a curse in Revelations. And the curse in Revelations, it's mentioned at the end where it says, we shouldn't tamper with it. We shouldn't take anything away from it. And we shouldn't add anything to it. We shouldn't play with it. So the book has got blessings and curses in it. I did a little bit about the structure of Revelations. If we take a look at it, the first three books, it's about the present. The things which we've got to put right now. That's typically the letters which have been going out to the seven churches. Then from 4 to 22 we get the future. First, we've got the bad news, the things which must get worse before it is going to get better. And then we've got the turning point, that's where Jesus returns, that is in Revelation 19. And then we've got the good news, the things will get much better after the things got worse. I maybe can tell you a story as well. There were a few guys, I don't know which country it was, who were also attending a theologian, theological faculty where they were attending classes, and one of the lectures over there was teaching about Revelations, and he was talking about those difficult words, apocalyptic, what I just now spoke about, and they decided they're not going to attend that classes. It's far too difficult and far too, they couldn't understand it. So they decided, okay, we're going outside. It must have been then maybe in America because the guys went into play some baseball over there. So they went outside and played some baseball because what was happening inside wasn't for them. They left it. They couldn't understand what was going on. And as they were playing baseball, there was one guy sitting in the corner there and he was reading something, but he was reading the Bible. So they went to him and they said, but what are you reading? What book are you reading? And he said, no, I'm reading the Bible and I'm reading Revelations at the moment. And the guys had to look at each other and said, but do you understand it? He said, oh, it's very easy. Jesus wins. He said, there's nothing difficult in it. He said, Jesus wins. Okay, so there's an explanation for Revelation and Jesus wins. If you can go to the next one. This is a statement which we hear quite often as well. Jesus loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. And this is a part what we also will see back again in Revelations. The first part, Jesus loves the sinner, we can connect it to Jesus coming the first time. He loves the sinner. He gives each and every one an opportunity. But then the second part, he hates the sin. He's going to come back. He's going to judge. So when you hear this one next time again, it is showing the two times with Jesus, the two times of Jesus coming, the one which already happened. He loves the sinner, and then he hates the sin. So he's going to judge over the sin. That is going to happen. Now I'm going to ask you not a difficult question. It's actually a very easy question. How many times do you think is the number 7 referred to in Revelations? We're talking about, to just give you a little bit of an idea, the 7 churches, the 7 scrolls, of seals on the scrolls, the 7 candles, just a few. Okay, how many? The one who's correct, I've got something for you. How many times is the number 7 mentioned in the book Revelation? Correct. If we take a look at, John has been writing down what the angel has been telling him, and the elders have been what he observed over there. And if you take a look at how accurate it is, and those who know a little bit about figures and how you work it out and multiply it and all that, how it corresponds, you can see it. There was something in it. There's something very, very special in it. And we maybe can see the next one. Next one. The 7 churches, which are mentioned over there, but they are mentioned 3 times. So we've got 3 times. If we add them up, then we get 49. The 7 spirits, the 7 golden lampstands, the 7 stars, the 7 lamps, the 7 seals, the 7 horns, the 7 eyes, the 7 angels, the 7 trumpets, the 7 thunders. The 7 thunders is the one which hasn't been explained. They've been sealed, so we don't know what actually the 7 thunders, what it means. The others, they've got, all of them, they've got an explanation to it. 7,000, the 7 heads, the 7 crowns, the 7 angels, the 7 plagues, the 7 bowls, 7 mountains, and then the 7 kings. So there are 19 of them, but if we add up how many times they've been mentioned, it's 49 times. It's 7 times 7. It gives us the 49. Then the next ones are the ones if we add them up. Because it is also that he was talking, let's say, 7 times about a certain thing. And if we add them up, it's not the number 7 which has been mentioned, but there are 7 of them if we count them. The 7 beatitudes, the statements using blessed, the 7 years of judgment. And then we also have got the 7 divisions of each letter. So each letter which has been sent through to the 7 churches has got 7 departments again. 7 is—it's incredible how many times it's mentioned in the in Revelations, and then the one where we're going to speak about a little bit later, the 7 attributes of the Lamb, and then the 7 dispensation completing Scripture. Now the word 7 is coming from the Greek word hepta, and it means it is a fullness, a completed, it is perfection. That is what the number actually means, and. I've been thinking about it, and maybe we must do it next time when we speak to people on the street and they say they do not believe in a God. Then we must ask them, how many days are there in a week? And they will most probably say 7. And then we can ask them, but where are the 7 days? Where is it coming from? And it's a divine decree from the Bible. It's coming from Genesis 2, verses 3, where it says, "Then God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." And that's something special, that it is not an open week, but it's something which has been finished. And that number 7 is so important. And that's what we see so many times in Revelations. That is the time of finishing. That's the finishing of the Bible. That is, it's now complete. It is perfect now. It is finished now. This is where it stops. That's the last book of the Bible. And it's awesome, that number 7 in there. Now I want to come to the verse that I wanted to talk a little bit about, and that is the one which is coming in from Revelations 5, verses 12. But I would like to go a little bit back, further back than just the 11 and 12, but I want to start reading at number 8 already, of it, verse 8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each of them having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. If we see what is happening over there, there are 24 of them which are falling down. It's 12, which are the 12 sons, which is the first covenant, and then the 12 apostles, which is the second covenant, and that they are falling down, and they are doing two things over there. They've got a harp, they're praising, they're making music, and they do pray. So they pray and they're praising, those two are together then. And then they sang a new song. First time they're using it, and then you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests in our God, and we shall reign on earth. And it's actually awesome that I don't think we can actually imagine it, but that those people are falling down on their knees, that they're worshiping God, that they're giving him all the glory and all the honor. I think if we are there, then maybe we can understand it. At the moment, I can't even get a picture of it, how it's going to look like, when we're going to be there, that we're going to worship together with the angels, with the elders, and that we're going to be there and worshiping God. It's going to be awesome. What I would like to do is just go through each and every point of that verse 12, where it says, "Then worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power, the riches, the wisdom, the strength, the honor, the glory, and the blessing." Because those seven are seen as the seven grants of praise, which means grants, it's the ingredients. So those seven together, from that you create the praise. You create the praise for God. The first one is power, and power is dunamis, which is not an unknown word for us. And then the power means if we recognize that God has got a power, he can do everything. But it's not just the power to do a normal thing, but also the power to do a miracle. And that is what has got to be in our praise. If we've got to acknowledge that, we cannot be kept quiet about it. We've got to shout it out. We've got to share it with other people. That we serve an awesome God, that we serve a powerful God who's got that power then. And that power is actually a word, it's the first word with all the others coming afterwards. It's actually that word power is including all the other words. It's included in that power, in that dynamos. Second one is wealth. And wealth is coming from the Greek word plotos, and it means possessions. Now, if we take a look at that, the Lord has created heaven and earth, so whatever is on it, whatever has been generated on it, it belongs to him. He's got all, everything belongs to him. Just now as well with the offering, whatever we give, we actually give back to God. It's not ours. He has given talents to each and every one of us that we can work with, that talent that we can earn money. We're giving something back to God. So everything, all the riches, all the wealth belongs to God. And that is also, if we recognize it, if we can put it in our praise, it makes it so much easier. Then we can see God, and we're not limiting God. We're not saying, God, okay, I'm earning a salary here and I'm giving it to you. No, I'm getting it from you and I'm giving it back to you. It's so much easier to understand. The next one is wisdom. Wisdom is coming from the Greek word Sophia. I don't know if any Sophias. No, there are no Sophias. Second name Sophia, also not. No, okay. Okay. Then you know that if a person has got a name Sophia, it means wisdom. And I should have said the wisdom what God has, is something so unique, because if we had to figure out how to get to reconcile God in a lost world again, I don't think we could have found a way. But God in his wisdom, he worked out a system that it can work by accepting Jesus Christ, that we can reconcile with God again. That's wisdom. That is something which is awesome. The next one is strength. And strength is power. And strength is actually that what's needed to put that power, to put it into practice. The strength also means that it is control of winds and storms and diseases. And it's an ability. That is what strength is. It's coming from the Greek word iskos. The next one is honor. And honor is coming from the Greek word temai. And honor means that it's a value. You're honoring it. And honor is the highest reputation what you can give somebody for what he's done. And we give an honor to Jesus for what he has done for us at the cross. We've been singing it just now as well. All the songs which have been chosen today, it is such a confirmation of what I had to pray over. And then for me, it's a confirmation again that we are praying and we're getting the same message, that we can share it and that we can make it part of that praise and worship, what we're doing and meeting God this afternoon. So that is what the honor is. Then we come to the next one, which is glory. And glory is coming from the Greek word doxa. And doxa is, you know, it's a praise, but it's actually a little bit higher than honor. So you've got honor, and then you've got doxa, then you've got glory. So it's a little bit more is what the honor is concerned. And then the last one is blessing. And blessing is coming from the Greek word euliga. And it's a fine speaking what it means. And that blessing is to bless one is to desire that he may have happiness and prosperity and that he may be successful, respected, and honored. And a blessing is actually a special attribute, special part of that total worship, the total praise what we can do. To bless God or to ascribe blessing to him is that state where the heart is full of and gratitude, full of love and gratitude, and where it desires that he may be everywhere honored or loved or obeyed as he should be. And these words express the wish that the universe would ascribe him, would ascribe to the Redeemer all honor, and that he might be everywhere loved and adored. Blessing, it's a thankful acknowledgement to the whole creation. If we're coming back again to these seven grounds of praise, the power, the riches, the wisdom, the strength, the honor, the glory, and the blessing. When I had a look at them, and I thought about them, and I thought, Lord, but are these words, am I doing exactly what you're asking me to do? Is this part of my life? Am I doing it enough, or am I falling short? And as I went through, and I thought, Lord, I'm actually limiting you. Because if I'm not acknowledging that you've got all the power, if I'm not acknowledging, then I'm actually taking from you. I'm not giving you all the value. I'm not giving you all the honor what you should actually receive. I'm making you God by my thinking. I'm not giving you everything what you actually need. That is on the power and the riches as well. If I'm limiting, if I keep something for myself back, if I'm not giving my tithing, if I'm not giving what I'm supposed to give, then I'm holding back, then I'm not giving everything what the Lord is actually needing. If we come to wisdom as well, if I'm not recognizing that God has got that awesome plan for reconciling the lost world with us, if I'm not acknowledging that, then I'm actually falling short, then I'm not doing what the Lord is telling me to do. Strength, honor, glory, blessing, all of them, as I went through, I thought about it, and then each and every time I came to that realization again, I'm actually holding back. I'm not giving the full praise to God. Although these seven are set, they are the seven grounds of praise, but I'm keeping back. I'm not giving all the praise to the Lord. And this is where I feel where what I had to share this afternoon, where we've got to talk about and where we've got to think about and what I'm actually asking you to think about. Where are you? Are you giving all the honor to God, all the glory? Are we giving all the, acknowledging the power, the riches, the wisdom, the honor, the glory, the blessing? Are we really acknowledging everything to God? Or are we limiting God? Are we putting God in a box which is manageable by ourselves? That we say, okay, this is the way but God is fine. It's just for a Sunday. Monday I'm at work. I cannot share about his wisdom, about the power with somebody else. But if we are full of it, if this is what we've been singing just now as well, if this is in our life and we're living it out on a Monday, then the people can smell it, they can see it, they can hear it, they can touch it, they can experience it when they are around us. And then the picture of the cross is coming back to me. If we take a look at the vertical one is that relationship what we've got with God. And if we've got a relationship which is a living relationship with God, then these grounds of praise are part of it, because we understand who God is, what he's been doing for us. And we know also when we're going to be in heaven, we're going to sing along with the elders and with the angels. We're going to sing continuously about it. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And this is my question, what I've got this afternoon. Where are we? Are we really giving God what he deserves? Or are we holding back? Can we stand? Heavenly Father, we come this afternoon to you. I want to come first in my personal capacity, Lord. I want to repent. I want to repent that I'm falling short. If I've got to be singing along with the angels and with the elders in heaven, with those words, then I'm falling short, Lord. I'm not giving you all the power. I'm not giving you all the riches. I'm not giving you all the wisdom, the acknowledgement of it, Lord. I'm not giving you all the strength, the honor, the glory, the blessing. But I'm holding back, and I want to repent of that, Lord. And I want to take off that lid, Lord. I don't want to be limited, Lord. I want to be that my life is reflecting it, Lord. That I know that I've got a relationship with you, Lord. And that vertical relationship with you, Lord, that it is a relationship which hasn't got any bottleneck, Lord, but it's an open relationship. That I know exactly who you are in my life, Lord, and that I can share it with other people. The vertical part of the cross, that I can share it with other people as well, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray for us as well who are here in the room together this afternoon, Lord. We are coming to you. You know exactly who we are. You know exactly what the situation is in our heart, Lord. And I want to pray, Lord, that each and every one, stirred by the Holy Spirit, is going to make a commitment, a decision this afternoon, Lord, and said, Lord, I know where I am, but there's something which is not 100%, and I want to rectify this afternoon. I want to put it in the right position. Lord, I pray that you're going to, through the Holy Spirit, stir the people's heart, Lord, that we can come and that we can restore that, restore that relation. And maybe for certain people it is that they said, but I never knew that we are going to sing along with the elders and along with the apostles and along with the angels that we're going to sing in heaven. But we're going to sing over there, Lord. We're going to sing there forever and ever, Lord, and making your name great, Lord. And we're giving you all the honor and all the glory over there, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Lord, we want to make it part of our life, Lord. And as what we are here this afternoon, Lord, I want to give that opportunity. And I would like to do it actually three ways. If you would like to sit down in your chair and you would like to speak to the Lord, feel free to do so. If you feel you would like to come forward and share it with somebody, then we will be over here and we can pray along with you. But it could also maybe be that you say you would like to take the microphone and you would like to share it with all of us in the room and say, I'm falling short of the recognizing the power, the riches, the wisdom, the strength, the honor, the glory, and the blessing. Maybe if there's a specific one, maybe it's all of them, maybe it's a few of them, that you would like to share it with all of us, then the microphone is available as well. And as the music is playing, I'm going to leave for you that opportunity that you can come and that you can speak to the Lord and restore that relationship what you've got with the Lord and strengthen it, and that it can just improve. And if we've got an improved relationship with the Lord, then it's so much easier to live it out on a Monday, so much easier to live it out on a Tuesday, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, the complete week, the week which God has given to us. You can take your time.
Sisters, that we made you much smaller than what you really are, Father. That I cannot grasp really how big it is, but even in my own understanding, I know that I have made you smaller, Lord. And I repent this in the name of Jesus Christ, and I say every evil spirit that made me do this, that make my thoughts want to belittle you, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to go into the abyss. You will have no place in my heart and in my spirit anymore and in my soul in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to leave right now and go into the abyss. And Father, I ask you to fill every place with your Holy Spirit. Come fill me up, Lord. Make me overflow with the understanding of what you want me to understand, Lord. Come and fill every place where I had bound you, and make me open and overflow me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.